I remember when we first started performing around the city, Prince invited us over to his compound. He's sitting at the SSL board and he's playing a guitar that's not plugged in. But it felt like we were standing there like 3 or 4 minutes and he's just playing with his back turned to us with his feet up. And then he stops playing and goes, "What's up, fellas?"
You're listening to Smooth Era, a show about the legends of 90s R&B. And in each episode, we'll dive deep into the stories about their lives, their struggles, and what it was like being part of that smooth era when it was at the height of its popularity. I'm your host, PJ Butta. And back in August of 1997, when I was on the radio at 92.3 The Beat in Los Angeles, I remember getting a CD that had the song title Butta Love. And I was thinking, oh, cool, someone sent me a new customized intro for my radio show. And after putting the CD in my CD player, remember those, and listening to the song, I realized that this wasn't an intro song for my show. It didn't even have anything to do with me. It was just a song that happened to have Butta in the title. But it was a really good song from a group that sounded really good. And if you don't know, that group was Next. And after Butta Love, they went on to dominate the radio in the late 90s and early 2000s with hits like Too Close, I Still Love You, and Wifey. And in today's episode, we're going to hear from a founding member of Next.
Full name is Prince Raphael Shawan Brown, originally from Gary, Indiana, born January 28th, 1976. I am Tweet from the R&B group Next. If you know me from the group, you know I was the one that rarely had a relationship with my shirt.
To get into the story of Next, let's start with Tweet's childhood and how he started the group with his first friend, his big brother, T-Lo.
My brother and I were like two peas in a pod. T-Lo and I used to play outside all the time with our friends.
At age 8, Tweet moved with T-Lo and their mom from Gary, Indiana to St. Paul, Minnesota.
I remember family being around a lot, you know, cookouts, block parties, going to the beach, which was the lake that we called the beach. But the music tied everything together for me because it was the music that made me feel like I remember these moments. It was the music connected to the smell of the barbecue, connected to the conversation about, I ain't telling you what my special sauce is, you ask me every time.
And the music they were listening to at these barbecues was R&B.
There's a lot of Gap Band. A lot of Frankie Beverly and Maze for sure.
But I make sure I cry before I let go.
I remember when I'll Be Sure first came out. Those songs raised us.
T-Lo and Tweet were raised on church songs too, and they performed in the church choir.
I've been singing at church since I was a little kid. T-Lo used to do everything at church, so he used to play the drums, be the lead singer, and he was a tenor in the choir, so he was active. Like, you could just see music was a part of his life language. You know, we grew up in the church, but we had another side of our family, which was the gang side, the street side. So after 12, that was the side I got more familiar with.
And that's because at age 12, Tweet and his 15-year-old brother, T-Lo, moved out of their mom's house and went on to live on their own.
My brother was kicked out and I was given an ultimatum to stay and don't speak to him at all again, or I have to leave with him.
T-Lo got kicked out because he was involved in some activity their mom and stepfather didn't want to be involved with.
T-Lo was heavy in the streets. He had weapons at home.
He also had problems at home that included bad, and I mean bad, confrontations with their stepfather.
But it was easy for us to leave because, you know, my brother and I experienced different forms of punishment that most people in the world would deem to be abusive. We were put into attics, basements. Like, if you're on punishment, that was where your punishment was. And today, you hear this and you're like, damn, that sounds terrible. As I grew older and more mature, and I learned my mother's story, I understood better.
Part of their mother's story has to do with Tweet's sister, Toy. She had hemophilia, a bleeding disorder that prevents blood from clotting normally.
Like, if you bump into her, she could, like, bleed to death.
So their mom lived in fear that something terrible could happen to Toy at any moment, and the issues with Tweet's brother at home wasn't helping the situation.
So I gave my mom a kiss and a hug. I told her I love her and I appreciate everything. Packed my stuff, told my brother to come get me.
Tweet chose T-Lo because he didn't like the way his mom and stepfather handled punishment.
And living with my brother sounded like a lot of fun.
And it was fun for young Tweet.
I got to stay up as late as I want every night. It didn't matter. I just had to go to school the next day.
Tweet also had to take care of some major chores like cooking and cleaning.
I would come through and make sure everybody had the house straight. Get your foot off the sofa. Clean up your spot that you ate. That was only 12.
While Tweet took care of the house, his brother Tilo had to take care of, let's call it, business.
He had to sell drugs to bring in money for us to live, and it was just unnecessarily crazy at times. And being little kids out in the streets, and then we were affiliated with, you know, gang life at that time, so I'm just leave it at that.
Now, I know you're probably thinking, why did Tweet even go to school then? Well, it's pretty simple. Tweet actually loved school, and school provided him with the pathway to his dreams.
I used to play football, used to run track. I wanted to play in the NFL, I wanted to go to school for computer engineering, and I wanted to run track for the United States in the Olympics.
So as you can tell, singing was just one of Tweet's many interests.
The first song I ever learned was Peace of My Love by Guy. And I learned it so I could like sing it at the slow dance we had in seventh grade. But I never sang it in public. I sang it to myself when I was dancing.
Young Tweet didn't have formal voice lessons, but he did go to a kind of guerrilla voice training camp orchestrated by his big brother.
He used to just leave me in the car for like 2 hours. And I had to practice. I'm in a car in the sun, car off, windows down, 2 hours singing at the top of my lungs with headaches.
See, what you don't know is Tilo really wanted to be in a singing group.
Tilo always wanted an escape plan. He wanted to be in New Edition when we were kids. So when I turned 16, he was like, bro, we need to do a singing group. I was like, what? I was like, no, I'm about to go to college. And he said, I can't do this without you. You have to be with me on this. I felt his passion and I go, all right, cool. I say, you guys, at the end of summer, if we pop in, I'll do it. If not, I'm going to school.
So Tweet agrees to give the singing group a shot, and the brothers look to recruit additional members, and they hear about this dude who's a great singer named R.L. Hugger, and they go to check him out at a talent show.
Obviously, this dude stood out. Like, you could just see he was different, and he was like a star compared to the guys he was standing with.
After the talent show, the guys convince R.L. and a handful of other dudes to try out for the group.
We go in the gym, we all start singing harmony, but we sounded good. I was like, oh.
The group audition goes like this. Each guy gets to jump on the mic and perform a song.
And I did Ribbon in the Sky, but I did the intro version.
There's a ribbon in the sky for our love.
I crushed it. Then RL did his thing, he killed it. Tilo did his thing, he killed it.
Another guy named Shiloh got into the group too. He didn't have a singing background, but everyone liked him, and the rest of the guys who auditioned didn't make the cut.
After that, we settled that it would just be the four of us, myself, Tilo, RL, and Shiloh. And that was the beginning of our group life.
And their early group life involved doing a lot of talent shows, and they became known as one of the top groups in the Twin Cities. And at that time, they called themselves Straightforward.
It was STRATE, the number 4, WARD. And it stood for Shiloh, Tilo, RL, and Tweety. I used to be Tweety. Expressing 4 wishes and reliving dreams.
The group with a cool acronym is playing talent show after talent show. And it's the early 90s, so you know, talent shows were like the TikTok of the time. They were the best way to build popularity, gain a following, and hopefully be seen by some record labels A&R who will sign them to a record deal. And in their hometown, Straightforward was going viral.
If it was popping, we got on the show. Once we were on the show, we knew we were beating everybody. If we lost, we know we got robbed. It was like that. Our level of performance was so different from the people around us.
Now, to be able to perform at a talent show, you had to pay an entrance fee. And those entrance fees became the prize money for the winning group at the end of the night. And Straightforward kept winning so much that other groups didn't even want to compete against them.
So they're like, nah, we ain't paying the Straightforwarders in it because we know they're going to win the money. Like, we're not going against these guys.
So the talent show organizers started making Straightforward special guests at their shows so other groups wouldn't have to go up against them.
That's how we came up. We performed our way into a different position in the shows. And then it got to the point to where people wanted to see us. So they put us on the show because it would fill seats. Then we started being the group that opened up for any big artist that came to the city. And it progressed very fast. I was like, I guess I ain't going to school.
Some of the big artists they opened up for were Aaliyah and Montel Jordan.
Oh, we opened up for Brandy. That's how we got our name.
Baby, baby, baby. Let me hear that.
That's right. When they opened up for Brandy, that's the moment Straightforward became Next. And the name comes out of a frustrating experience while the group was waiting to take the stage for a sound check.
So we waited for like an hour for a sound check. And it was like, oh, you got to wait a little longer because now Brandy Band just got here and they got a sound check. So they sound checked like for, it was close to an hour. So we were going up on 2 hours. RL just flipped. He was like, see, this is what I'm talking about. They wouldn't do this to us if we were already popping. We're going to be the next big thing to blow up. Watch. That's what we should be called. Next. It's going to mean no one ever expected this. And we were like, ooh, that sounds kind of... It just felt right to all of us. Everybody just immediately agreed.
And in case you were wondering, they never did get that sound check.
We still ripped it. But that moment turned into something really big because we felt like we needed to be bigger than we were to get the respect that we know we deserve. So we went even harder.
Part of working even harder meant making the tough decision about Shiloh. Now, he was a shy guy, that probably explains his name, and he often stood toward the back of the stage looking uncomfortable during the shows. So the guys decided to vote him out of the group. I mean, nothing against Shiloh as a person, they just wanted the group to be more solid.
When he did get out the group, our level of performance changed. It went from, we were good, to like, yo, who are these dudes? Because now everybody was just on this energy and the harmonies and the movement, everything was just like spot on. So it was almost like if you had a Rubik's Cube, you didn't have all the colors right, and then we made that shift and then all the colors came together and the universe just started pouring on everything we needed. And it was like in a blink, life was different.
The Rubik's Cube was set, and with that, Straightforward was reborn as Next. Find out how Next gets closer to their big break after the break.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back. So at this point in the story, Next is crushing the talent show scene in Minneapolis and opening up for R&B's biggest acts. They're also perfecting their sound, and some of their influences included
Boyz II Men, H-Town. Then there was also Jodeci. Jodeci was very soulful, harmonic, and just powerful vocals. We would connect with Boyz II Men for the blend and the more technical vocals. I'll make love to you like you want me to. We blend the beautiful harmonies, but we give it to you with that that soul that merges them together, and it creates this thing that only the three of us have.
And as they're getting their blend dialed in, they're making demo tapes and passing them out to anyone who's willing to listen.
T-Lo is the one that created everything for us. He is the one who paid for the demo tapes to get done. He got them pressed up, wrote his name and number on all of them.
And get this, Next gets the opportunity to produce demos with a couple of guys who are rising stars in hip-hop and R&B, and that's Tony, Prof T. Tolbert, and Lance Alexander from the group Low Key.
We actually performed at a talent show at People's Park in St. Paul, and we ran into Prof T and Lance of the group Low Key. One of their biggest songs is I Got a Thang For You. These guys took us under their wings. We were raw, and they helped us learn how to be professionals.
Low Key were professionals who had a hit single and were signed to a label owned by music legends who are from Minneapolis.
Prof T and Lance were signed by Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and Flight Time Records.
I told you they were legends. Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, one of the greatest R&B producers ever, and they've worked with Janet and Michael Jackson, Mary J. Blige and Usher, and of course, they're part of Morris Day and the Time. So Prof T and Lance started bringing Tweet and the guys to Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis' studio to record demos, but it was on the low, so it was without Jimmy and Terry's permission.
One day, we're in the studio late. We would only go like late at night, and the door opens and it's Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. Now, we're so excited to meet these guys. These guys are living legends. We're like, yo, what's up? And the way they look, they weren't as excited to meet us. They look like, who the hell are they? And what are y'all doing here? And I remember Terry Lewis says to Lance, he goes, press play, and it better be good. Lance press play, and it's banging. They couldn't even fight it. It was so good, Jimmy Jam was mad, and he didn't want to like break his mad, so he left. He left the room. Terry Lewis goes, okay, that's all right, that's good, all right. And then he said, y'all three, come here. And he looked us straight in our faces, and he said, what I hear is good, and I like it, and I believe that you all have a bright future in this industry. But don't ever let me catch you without a humble pie. And what he meant was, don't ever forget who you are. Don't let me catch you being arrogant. And that stuck with me still to this day.
Now, you would think after that, Terry Lewis would sign them on the spot, right? Nope, that didn't happen. But Next kept it moving, and they continued performing and meeting folks in the Minneapolis music scene. And you can't be in the Minneapolis music scene and not meet you know who.
I remember when we first started performing around the city, Prince invited us over to his compound. Everything you saw was like, wow, wow, wow.
Tweet got to kick it with Prince in his recording studio.
You go in, he's sitting at the SSL board. An SSL board is a $1 million soundboard. And he's playing a guitar that's not plugged in. So he's just strumming it, but he had his back to us and he had his feet up on the SSL and he had some boots on. But he was snapping, like the riffs he was doing, like it was almost like he was just freestyling, but he was making amazing sounds. But it felt like we were standing there like 3 or 4 minutes and he's just playing with his back turned to us with his feet up. And then he stops playing and goes, what's up, fellas? And he was like, man, the coolest dude. It was almost like he came to the stage. And the way he met us, he was like, man, I listen to y'all stuff. I like it. I like what y'all doing. Stay focused. Keep your head on. Y'all representing the city, right? You know, wish you the best on everything. Y'all always got a home here. So then he gave us a pass to come to his house all the time whenever we wanted.
Tweet and the guys were invited to the shows Prince was hosting at his house on Saturday nights.
He'd be like, you got to be here at 8 o'clock for the show. And he didn't perform till 2. I thought that was really cool of him to take some young guys under his wing.
So Next are waiting for the big break, and it finally happened at an unlikely place, the mall. Yes, the mall. Mall of America. The guys were at the Mall of America in Minneapolis for an event, and DJ KG and Vinny from the rap group Naughty by Nature were there. And at this time, Naughty by Nature were one of the hottest hip-hop groups with classics like Hip Hop Array and OPP. Get out with OPP.
T-Lo's like, Tweet, there go KG and Vinny.
What up? This is the Naughty Boy, Vin Rock. This is the one, KG.
Let's go say what's up. I'm like, bro, I don't really be running up on people like that. He's already gone. Come on, Tweet. He like left me. He was like, whatever.
So T-Lo runs up to KG and Vinny and introduces himself. And KG says,
oh, I know y'all. I heard about y'all from Brother Jules. I'm like, oh.
Now, Brother Jules was a local DJ and one of the first people to play Next on the radio. He also happened to be RL's cousin.
in my mind, I felt like, oh, so the word's getting out. But we were shocked. Guys, listen to this. Don't be trying to be cool and you so cool you miss your blessings.
This would have been the perfect moment to hand KG a demo tape, but somehow they didn't have one on them.
Because this is the one time T-Lo did not have a demo tape on him. He always had a demo tape. If he was a street pharmacist, he always had what he needed, so he knew how to have the product on him.
But KG luckily was doing a show the next night, and he invited the guys over so they'd get another opportunity to pass them their demo. So the guys get ready to go to the Naughty by Nature show dressed to impress.
I remember we wore these white bandanas tied behind our head, and we had on these all-white Adidas suit with the black stripes on the arm with the shell-toe Adidas. We looked G'd up. We looked like stars. We looked ready to go.
But next was in the audience, and KG and Vinny were on stage. So how are they going to get their demo tape to KG?
One of the hype men jumps off the stage. He's running through the audience, and T-Lo grabbed him, and he looked at T-Lo like, yo, what you doing, bro? T-Lo's like, man, KG told me to bring him my demo tape. Gave him the demo tape, and he had his name and his number on it. He was like, yeah, I'm going to give it to him.
Come on, you really think the hype man is actually going to give that demo tape to KG?
Maybe a day or so later. Could have even been longer, I don't know, but someone calls, T-Lo answers, he's like, yo, what's up? This KG trying to see what's up with your group.
Now, RL's a big practical joker, so T-Lo assumes the guy on the phone is RL doing his voice like KG, you know, pulling a prank. So T-Lo says,
yeah, right, KG. And he hung up on him. And he called me and he goes, RL just called me talking about he's KG and he wanted to see what's up with the group. I was like, oh, cool. I'm gonna call RL on three-way.
When RL picks up the phone, it sounds like he just got out of bed. So Tweet says,
that was not RL. I think he hung up on KG. Then his phone beeped.
Remember that? When your phone used to beep for call waiting?
It's K again. K gets on the call with him and tells him that he wants to fly us out to go and do Boogie Land with him.
Boogie Land was an annual party KG threw at his house in East Orange, New Jersey with the who's who of hip hop and R&B. But T-Lo didn't know what Boogie Land was when KG invited them.
All we knew is KG called and this may be it.
So KG flies the guys to the East Coast and they're hella excited.
And I remember the day those plane tickets came. You would have thought we got Grammys. We had them plastered on the car window driving around with the music blasted. I had never been on a plane in my life at this point, mind you. I was 20 years old.
When Tweet boarded his New York bound plane, he was nervous.
I remember how hard my hands were sweating before we took off. And you would have thought I was going to space the way I was acting. And I remember when we first pulled off and I felt the power of the engine and the gas going through the plane. And I remember the sound. It was like, and it was getting bigger and bigger. My heart was smacking. And then as soon as we lifted off and we got like weightless, and I quickly was like, oh, this is cool.
And Tweet, T-Lo, and RL thought what they were wearing was cool when they got to JFK, but the slides, the socks, and the sweatpants made these Minnesota boys stick out.
We showed up in some sweatpants, white socks, with some Nike slides on, but you just don't walk around the airport with slides and white socks on. Like, unless you're on a private jet, you probably shouldn't be at the airport like that.
Now today, sweatpants, white socks with some slides is pretty normal. Right when you're traveling, it's like the travel starter kit. But back then, it wasn't. Maybe Next was like ahead of their time, right? Anyways, the guys didn't have time to change clothes. They needed to head straight to the Apollo Theater in Harlem, where they were going to be KG's guests at a big show.
When I walked into the Apollo, my first initial reaction was like, I thought it was way bigger than this. In my mind, I'm thinking it's this huge venue, like an arena.
If you don't know, stuff always looks bigger on TV. So the Apollo looked very small to them.
But the energy is bigger than anywhere you've ever been. Like, it's huge.
And the people who showed up were huge. And I'm not talking about size this time.
I was like, dang, there go Mary J, Diddy, Nas, AZ was there, Biggie. It was all soundcheck. So a lot of people were there already. And I saw so many artists that I love right there chilling.
Tweet and the guys had time to change before the show. So they settled on another set of matching outfits. But this time, it was jeans, plaid button-downs, and Timberland boots. But not the kind of Timberland boots you're thinking, like the work boots everyone wore in New York City. No, their Tims are more like hiking boots.
It was like, man, these boys country.
But those country boys in hiking boots got to see some epic performances.
Oh my God, it was like everybody that you can think of. Queen Latifah performed.
Only Queen Latifah!
Junior Mafia performed with Biggie.
Money,
Like, the whole night was epic.
And you know what made the night more epic? KG listed Next on the program as new artist under his label.
We didn't even talk about nothing yet, but he had us on the list, and just to see it, it was so smart because it allowed us to imagine ourselves being a part of something that we've been so serious about and trying to make it happen for so long. We were like, this is it.
But it wasn't it just yet. They didn't have a record deal, but they were flirting with one all weekend. And the next day, they went to a second show at the Apollo, followed by KG's Boogie Land house party.
And he has this huge backyard, basketball court, swimming pool. It was barbecue, drinks, hanging out, turning up. And we met the whole industry in 2 days.
And the music industry met Next because KG was playing their music at the party and talking them up. I mean, imagine that, hearing your own demo, blasting at the stereo at the sick party with all these industry people.
Anybody that we talked to was like, yeah, I just heard y'all stuff. I like it. KG was doing his job. I was like, dang, this dude is working. Like, I'm like, is he even at the party?
That party at KG's house was a turning point for tweets, and he felt like they were where they were supposed to be.
We finally here. I'm so happy. I'm thankful that we're here. But the next thing was like, it's time. They about to see what we got now. Like, we about to make our mark. I knew we were going to put our signature on the game, and that's how I felt at that party.
The guys flew home to Minnesota after Boogie Land, and they were pumped up and felt like they had the beginnings of a record deal. But closing the deal?
That part felt like it took forever, because now every day you're home, you're counting the minutes on the clock. You're like, man, when is he going to call? When is he going to call?
KG eventually called, and he was interested in signing them, but he wanted them to come to New York to do a showcase put on by a record label, and that record label was Arista, and they were known for signing acts like Whitney Houston, Aretha Franklin, The Grateful Dead, Lou Reed, The Kinks, Dionne Warwick, and it was run by legendary record exec Clive Davis at the time. So Next flies back to New York for the showcase, and Clive was there.
We did some of our singles because we told him what songs we were going to perform, and at the end of it, we did a freestyle. T-Lo jumped on the drums, RL freestyled a song, I freestyled a song, and we freestyled harmonies, and T-Lo was still singing on the drums. We just made it up on the fly and talked about everybody in the audience and everything. I'm sure he was like, yo, what just happened? Our delivery came across hip-hop. We were R&B with a hip-hop mentality. I'm sure this is what took us over the top.
Once Next finished their set, Clive and KG huddled up.
Told us we're going over to the office. We're going to have a meeting right now. They signed us in 45 minutes, like ASAP.
Okay, so this is it. Tweet and the guys are finally in position to be the next big thing. Find out what's next for Next after the break.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Welcome back. So after years of talent shows and handing out their demos, T-Lo, RL, and Tweet finally got a record deal.
Now, I remember the first check he sent us. It was like $5,000 a piece. You would have thought, I hit the Mega Million jackpot out here, bro. Man, I took everybody shopping. I had no money in like 2 weeks.
Shortly after that shopping spree, Tweet and the guys were headed to New Jersey to record their debut album, and Prof T and Lance came along too. Prof T helped them write songs, and Lance was producing the album, and they did most of the recording at Perfect Pair, which was a studio run by Ken Johnston.
Ken, man, he was the best dude. He took care of us. Like, we used to eat over there. It just felt like you were working with family.
Perfect Pair was a lower budget studio designed for kids who were curious about making music but didn't have the money for a regular studio. So Ken's equipment was, let's just say, you get what you pay for.
And I remember we used to call his sound booth the hot box because there's no ventilation and that it's just hot in there. So when you had to hit high notes, oh, headache for sure. Guaranteed.
And the guys were spending a lot of time in that hot box. And on an average day, they get to the studio around noon.
And we go to like 2 a.m. 3 sometimes, go back to the room, sleep, get up, back to the studio. Every single day was that.
Until they were finally done with their first album, Rated Next, which came out in 1997, and that's when their first hit single dropped, Butta Love.
Butta Love, out of any song, I believe it took the longest to record. I think we had to go back in the studio and do a session 3 different times, maybe even more on Butta Love. But I remember on the last session, Clive Davis actually came to the studio.
Most of the recording on Butta Love happened in New Jersey, but the session Clive came to was in New York.
They cleared the whole block out. His lavender Lexus limousine pulled up. He got out, he had his dog. And I remember seeing him and he was so cool with us. He was like, hey, what's up, my guys, or whatever.
Clive did offer a suggestion for Butta Love.
You like my home, man, my shorty.
You've shown me so many things, and you're so special to me.
All that call out stuff when I'm chilling with my homie, I think about it. He came in and put that on.
Meaning Clive Davis did what so many good producers do. That's add a little bit of this or a bit of that to an already good song with the hopes of making it a hit. And Butta Love was a hit. It hit the Billboard Hot 100 in the fall of 97 and it peaked at number 16 in December.
Butta Love was dope, but it didn't cross over. So it made us more hood famous and ghetto fabulous.
Yeah, it would be another song that would take them from hood famous to world famous. And that song was Too Close.
Too Close is a song that's talking about a guy getting aroused on the dance floor, but he's warning the girl that she's getting too close, so, you know, he's trying to get some space on her. And it was the last song we recorded on the album, and it was recorded as a joke. It was a joke from RL and I having a conversation with some females about how do they respond to a guy getting aroused on the dance floor, and they said they did it on purpose, and that just blew our minds.
So Next recorded Too Close as a joke, and they actually didn't want the song to come out as a single. And that's because they thought it wasn't sexual enough. Yeah, really? Not sexual enough? Even though, you know, the song's entirely about sex.
We're trying to be known as these sex symbols because we were like young horn dogs and we think these songs are what's going to make it happen.
And that's why their album included songs like Phone Sex, and Sextitude. It was those kind of songs Next thought were going to make them famous.
We were like, we don't want to do Too Close.
But Clive Davis wanted to release a song with crossover appeal, and he thought Too Close was the one. And he was right. Next released Too Close as a single in January of 98, and it eventually hit number one on Billboard's Hot 100 and on the hip-hop R&B charts.
When Too Close came out, we just skyrocketed overnight, and we went from just a regular group to the Black Beatles. When you're number one, you're living a complete completely different existence. Everyone wants you to be where they are. They always want to show you the absolute best that they possibly can because they, one, want you to talk about it, and two, they want you to come back.
So Too Close made the guys famous, but it also helped them realize there's more to being just young horn dogs.
We kind of grew out of the mindset of wanting to only be sexual after Too Close and kind of slapped us out of it. This song that you least expected was the one that everybody loves, so it kind of teaches you don't know what everybody wants. You just got to go with what the people say, and that's where your success will be.
And that success gave them the opportunity to go on tour in the summer of 98 with one of the all-time greatest groups in the 90s, Boyz II Men.
It was us, Destiny's Child, Casey and JoJo, and Uncle Sam was opening. That was amazing. Because Boyz II Men, they were moving at a different level. They had a whole production with their tour. So they had a masseuse on the road, barber, dancers, catering, like all the works. Every night, it was popping.
And on tour, Boyz II Men took Next under the wings.
We were just still slightly knucklehead, young whippersnappers singing R&B and just wet behind the ears, but ambitious and committed to our craft. And they took a chance with us, and I appreciate them.
Boyz II Men even let Next have their own backdrop on stage, and that was a big deal back then.
If you get a backdrop, you made it. Meaning, when you're new and you're opening up, you don't get all that. You got to work your way up to that. And we had our Next backdrop with the lights on it.
The Boyz II Men tour helped introduce Next to the world, and it set the group on a whole nother level. They had a huge hit with Too Close, they toured with Boyz II Men, and they made it back to the Apollo, but this time, they were on stage. By the end of 98, they were nominated for 2 American Music Awards, and even though Next didn't win either of them, they got to perform at the awards ceremony with Casey and JoJo. Talking together. And Next big moment came at the Billboard Music Awards, where they won 8 different categories, including Top New Artist and Top R&B Song.
Single of the year is Next, Too Close.
Too Close is also the R&B single of the year. And Next are also Billboard's new R&B Artist of the Year and Hot 100 Single of the Year.
Let me say this. We don't have fans because anybody that makes you who you are your friends. So we consider all y'all our friends. We love you.
When we're walking up on stage and they're saying every award we won, I'm like, we literally won everything you can win this year. And I'm looking out in the audience and it's everyone from every genre of music. Everybody's clapping, giving us love. And it just felt like, wow, this is huge. And we couldn't even hold them. We were like trying to like split how many we get to hold. It was almost like, am I dreaming? Is this real?
After the success of their debut album, Next released their sophomore album in 2000, Welcome to Nextasy. And on it was another hit single, Wifey, which peaked at number 7 on Billboard's Hot 100, and it hit number 1 on the R&B hip hop charts. Then in 2002, they released their 3rd album, The Next Episode, and like most groups, they ended up splitting shortly after. But they did get back together and start touring until the end of 2023, when Tweet retired from Next so he could launch his global healing brand with his wife. I know fans will miss him, but what does he miss about the 90s?
What I miss most about the 90s is the ghost money that just would come out of nowhere. It'd just be like, yo, what is this $200,000 that just fell out of the sky? I'd love to see those days come back around.
Even though that song, Butta Love, had nothing to do with me, it had a lot to do with the success of Next. And who would have thought that Tweet and his brother T-Lo, who left home at an early age and were running in the streets, would be running around the world performing. And together with R.L., they truly became the next big thing. Smooth Era is a Stupid Fly production hosted by me, PJ Butta. This episode was written and edited by Chris Olin at Angelino Audio and Mia Sullivan at Places Media. Music is by The Math Club and mix engineer is Sean Berman. Shout out to Ray David for the dope artwork, and I can't forget the executive producer who isn't trying to be all up in the videos, all on the record dancing, and that's DJ Cheap Shot. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Smooth Era Podcast. Also, hit that subscribe button and please leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And just to let you know, I like 5 stars. I'll talk to you next time on the next episode of Smooth Era.